You're with SBS Radio.
Well, Marcia Langton and I, we co-chair what we call a senior advisory group. And Minister Ken Wyatt, yeah, our first Aboriginal person who's been in the Indigenous Affairs portfolio as the Minister, he's been working with the Prime Minister. And what they've agreed on is that we as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, we come up with a mechanism or a way to be able to get the voice of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people at the furthest level, at the state and community level, up to government, so that we can have an influence over the development of policies that affect us as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Not only policies that come out of the NIAA, but policies across the board, all the portfolios, all the different departments of government, you know, because a lot of them, like education, like employment, they're mainstream, but they impact on us as Aboriginal people. And so we want to move away from government telling us what's good for us to us telling government what we think is good for us. So we've got to be part of the process. We've got to be able to give some direction to government at the highest level in the Commonwealth on how they should think about policies that are going to impact on us as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So Marcy and I are co-chairing the Senior Advisory Group, but we've got two other groups in there. Yeah. One's called the National Co-Design Group, and the other one is the Local and Regional. And both of those groups are looking at what exists out there now in the community that helps people at, say, the state level communicate. And in the ACT Canberra, where I am, they have an elected body of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who work directly with government, the ACT government, and help guide their policy development and programs. In other states, we've got other arrangements where the Premier will work with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. We have the empowered communities model that's been trying to gain some traction around. In the past, we had ATSIC. So whilst ATSIC's gone, while National Congress is gone, we're looking at a new way of being able to get the voice of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people heard by politicians at the Commonwealth level. And so our job is to design, what that might be, so that in another couple of months' time, after the government's had a look at what we think might happen, they then will go and give us the responsibility to talk to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and non-Indigenous people around Australia to see what they think, and then the government will make a decision to adopt a model. So it's a great opportunity for us to make sure that we are heard. What's complicated in it is that we've had many, but we still have existing bodies. We have the peak bodies, the coalition of peaks. We've got peak bodies in health, employment, education, justice and so forth, but they don't get heard enough. So they're already working through the coalition of peaks, working with COAG, which is all the state and territories. We want to get an arrangement where they're working, not necessarily the coalition of peaks, but everybody who might not be a member of any of these organisations, to get their voice up to the federal government. Yeah. So, I think it's an exciting time. Marcia and Maya are really pleased that both the Prime Minister and Minister for Indigenous Affairs are willing to work together with us and give us the responsibility of developing some models for them to consider. Because, if you think about it, the only last time, the last time where we've had the Prime Minister and the Minister for Indigenous Affairs working closely together has been with National Apology, when Jenny Macklin and Kevin Rudd, they worked together to get it up. Then we had the Closing the Gap campaign, where they both worked together again. You know, we had, well, the one that we're not so proud of is the anti-intervention, where they were both working together.
Yeah.
But that had more detrimental impact than good impact. And so, you know, now that we've got the Prime Minister and the Minister for Indigenous Affairs wanting to work together, we should take advantage of that and make sure that we do get a voice, because we don't have a voice to Parliament at the moment or to government.
Yeah. Where do you get the energy? Because when you mention how excited you are to keep developing policy, on my side, I've been covering Indigenous affairs for many years, and I see setback after setback after setback. You mentioned the mainstreaming of services. This is happening every day. Just a few days ago, like a slap in the face, the New South Wales government decided to reduce funding for UPSEC. And a few months earlier, we had JIRA in Victoria having their funding suspended. And where do you get the energy? And all the peak bodies you've spoken about, like Congress gone, ASIC gone. Where do you find the energy to keep going in this context?
Well, look, I've always tried to be a positive person and look for the future. We've got so many good people around amongst us, you know, from some of the old leaders that have been around for a long time to our young ones, you know, who are really keen to see a difference. And, you know, Marcia, myself, many of the leaders are all keen to bring our young ones up. And, you know, we can't just say, look, we tried, we failed, so that's it. You know, we tried, we might not have succeeded, but let's not give up. Let's go and look at a different way. And you know, and really, I think we've all got to be positive about it and say, you know, these things take time. And I was just talking yesterday to some representatives from the Torres Strait. You know, the Torres Strait Regional Authority, they started back in the mid-90s to try and get autonomy. You know, we're now in 2020. They still don't have full autonomy, but they're still working on it. So you can't give up just because it doesn't happen overnight. You know, these things take time. And what's important is that we as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people need to work together on these things. And, you know, I thought we had it when we all got together and over 9 months or so, you know, for the National Congress, we held consultations all over Australia. We distributed twice over 50,000 brochures to people to talk about. Everybody was excited. We pulled together 100 people who came and spent 2 days in Adelaide to come up with the model for the National Congress. It started to go well, but then the government, change of government, cut the funding, and, you know, starved us. You know, I had hopes then, but, you know, that's now gone. So we still need a voice. We still need a representative body. So, you know, I say, while I still can, I'll work and, you know, help, you know, and Marcy and my job, we help steer a process. We're not doing the process. We want others to get involved. And we are seeing that now through, we've got some tremendous people on the co-design groups from all over Australia, from the bush to the city, you know, and you know, we're all in it together, which is great, because that's the theme of Reconciliation Week now is in this together. And so, you know, we have to work together to be able to see a difference and to have that vision for a future and to have hope. And, you know, if us leaders, if we give up hope, what sort of chance do our young people have of thinking that there is a future? So, yeah, that's what drives me. And, you know, and it's not only working with our mob, but it's trying to get the non-Indigenous population over the line. And through Reconciliation Australia, we've had some great successes over the years. And I think that, you know, we're seeing a movement in Australia of non-Indigenous people getting a better understanding about us and also, you know, wanting to work with us towards reconciliation. And we see the number of RAPs that are around. We see the programs that are happening in schools, which are very positive. You know, we've seen tons, like these RAP organisations, they donate tens of millions of dollars a year just in scholarships for our kids. to come through and get an education. So it's not all about government. It's about everybody working together. And that's the theme of reconciliation. And boy, I think it's happening. So, yeah, that's what drives me. And I think that's where we should all be driven by that with hope. Hope for a better future. And to take the Prime Minister and the Minister for Indigenous Affairs to their word, and that is that they want to work with us and they want us to be in the driver's seat for getting a voice to Parliament. So, yep, that's incentive enough to be excited.
Before I let you go, would you have a message or just a word to share with our listeners?
Oh, look, yeah, look, my message is don't ever give up. Have hope. Working together is the best way for us to go forward. We've got to stop being violent to ourselves, and that's both physical violence and lateral violence. Some of that is brought around by our addictions, be they cigarettes or alcohol or other drugs. We've got to work together. We've got to be strong. We've got to be proud. And we've got to bring through our young people, because the thing that's always a big driver is that we are the longest continuing surviving culture in the world. We were here 50, 60, 70, 80,000, that's all, we get different reports, years before Captain Cook or any other non-Indigenous person set foot on Australia. We have a very proud and long culture. It's been affected by, colonisation and a whole lot of introduced things here, but we're resilient. We're starting to see many more of our young people coming through with education. We're seeing a reduction in smoking, for example. It's still a big lag time to get rid of all the cancers that are currently in our bodies, but we'll turn that around. But we've all got to do it together. We've got to make sure, and this is the other important message too, with COVID-19, even though we've got restrictions, we've got to make sure that if we have got a health condition, we go to the doctor, and deal with our diabetes, deal with our heart problems, make sure that we get our flu injections. These are so important if we want to try and prevent, getting influenza, the flu, or being more susceptible to getting COVID. So there's a lot around. I want our youth to stand up to want to get more involved in our affairs. I think some of our older people, myself included, need to grow our young ones up and to step aside and let them, take over, so we can all have a long rest. But I think it's very positive, and we've seen that. We've seen that we are probably one of the only places in the world where our Indigenous people haven't been affected by COVID-19 through massive numbers of deaths or infections. So we need to stay strong and need to remember, even after COVID's gone, we've still got to wash our hands. We've still got to make sure that we have good hygiene practices, and look, that's the other thing too. We've got to encourage our kids to keep strong and to keep educating us older people about what the future has got to be.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.